Hey, Levi.
Yeah, hi. Can I come in, please?
Yeah. Yeah, come in.
Has something happened to Remy?
No, no, he's hanging in there. The police just told me what happened. Are you okay?
Like you care.
Oh, come on, of course I care. I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Levi, you don't get to pick and choose the moments. You decide to be family, okay?
I could say the same thing about you. Hang on, Eden, I'm sorry, I should...
Okay, all right.
Probably time to go away.
Yeah.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Right, bringing it for the girls on International Women Day, Sophie.
Just me on my own.
Just you, the female of the pod, Coastal News woman, the woman.
Coastal News anchor woman, yes. I am, yeah.
Happy International Women's Day.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, yes, for yesterday, because by the magic of podcast, it was yesterday.
Yes.
International Women's Day, but we are recording it on International Women's Day. So it's all about you today. All about
oh dear,
you.
That's not what they want, trust me.
Well, the results of the most popular host says otherwise, you know, and I'll never let you live it down.
I still think that was a jinx, like, recount, please. What's going on in Florida, come on.
Hey?
Florida recount needed.
Oh, right. Right over me at that one.
Sorry.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been an up and down week, but it's, you know, I've survived. It's the end of the week, it's the weekend, so yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
All right, I'm okay.
Yeah.
We've just been putting the world to rights, haven't we? As you
know. Yes.
So therapy session complete. Let's get on with some home and away.
Oh dear. Yeah, I
feel
to
like
start.
I've uploaded you this week.
No, I was going to say, I need to start paying you by the hour or by the text message, I think, maybe.
Oh, God. Ooh, I can only imagine how many gigs are on our channels.
I don't want to think about it. Yeah. I'm going to need a new phone just to back up our chat, I think. There you go.
Do you know, let our audience in on this. You know, all the content we post and all the pictures, there's so much of it, isn't there?
Yeah.
And last year I didn't keep on top of it on my phone because I'm a man and I'm not very organized in that respect anyway. And I said to you, didn't I, at the break, I'm going to sort my phone out. And I got to like 15 gigs of pictures of home and away things. And I said, I'm actually just going to buy a new phone. I'm just going to put this one in the and buy a new phone at this rate. Oh god.
I know, it's a lot. I'm sorry. It is my fault because I do bombard you day in, day out with stuff, home and stuff.
I mean, I'm the same back at you. So don't worry. Listen, it's the cogs that make this machine go. We've got it down to a T these days, haven't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, okay, I've got a question for you.
Oh, I'm scared.
Prepared.
I'm scared.
What do these people all have in common?
Oh, crikey. Okay, go for it.
Jerome Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
Monica Cruz.
Oh.
Victor Garber. What do they all have in common? Do you want any more names? Help you.
I'm trying to think what they could possibly have in common. Yeah, have you got any more examples?
Yes, bear with me. Where's my phone?
Well, they're all actors, aren't they? Are they all actors?
Yeah, all actors. But there's something else they all have in common that I'm looking for. Gabriel Attal.
Gabriel, I don't even know that name.
No, I don't. Cue them.
I'll have to Google him later.
Jerome Flynn, Monica Cruz, and Victor Garber. What do they all have in common?
I literally don't know.
I know they haven't all been cast on Over the Way.
Oh, I think I might know. I've just got there because I was like, they're all different age. They're all different ages. Mm-hmm. So maybe their age. It's their birthday. Is it their birthday? Have they all got the same birthday?
Oh yes, you're getting warmer. But when is it? When is their birthday?
Is it the same day that we are live in Manchester?
Oh my God! Yes.
I'm psychic. Yes. I got Absolutely. One.
How did you know? What a day of celebration that's going to be.
There's such random names. And then I was thinking about one's an actor, one's like, yeah. But then I was like, but they're all different ages. They're all different nationalities.
Mm.
There's got to be something that's, and I thought, and then when I said, I thought ages, I thought birthdays.
You got there. 16th of March. Whew. Next week, Sophie.
Next Saturday. Who's got a ticket? Who's coming to see us in Manchester?
Yes. Well, we're fully booked, so there are some people with tickets. But yes, get in touch with us, guys, if you're listening. We're looking forward to seeing you. Well, we know we've been emailing you and things. But yes, you'll be, this time next week, we'll be there live at Manchester, doing a Home and Away Murder Mystery Game, our meetup and social event with special guests, JK and Adam from the Neighbourhood Rewatch, doing their take on a Home and Away quiz. It's going to be a good day, isn't it? We're all looking forward to it. It's getting so close now. We're ready to go, Sophie, aren't we? We're ready to go.
Yeah.
We've just made some off-the-cuff decisions before we came on air. We're good to go now. Everything's been ironed out, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be good. Just need you guys to turn up now, so we'll see you next week.
Yes, and we can't wait for it. See you next week. Get in touch if you need some help with any of the transport options. I'm local, so I can help you out with directions and things. Message us, email us, whatever you need. We're even meeting one of our guests, aren't we? So we can do that. We can arrange something like that if you want help finding the venue. Just get in touch, all right? I felt like there was something else I was going to tell you. Home and Away this week.
Mm.
Now, infamously, it's the week after the big hoo-ha.
Finale, yeah.
Yeah. It normally goes a bit flat, but I'm still gripped. I absolutely loved this week for different reasons.
There's been new stuff starting, hasn't there? There's been sort of new things that to talk about and think about this week, which has been good as well. But I'm glad, because I think one of the things we're going to talk about this week is probably the wrap-up of the Eden storyline, which for me was a bit quick. So I wouldn't have minded if that had gone on a bit longer, I'll be honest. But, you know, we'll see what you think as well. But I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think there's been some good poignant sort of emotional stuff this week, as things sort of come to a head on a couple of those story plots that you mentioned. I agree. Whereas last week was sort of high stakes, hold your breath, this week has been like gripping for a different reason, but like I've not felt the usual slump yet.
No,
might come. You know.
Maybe next week. We'll find out in first look tomorrow.
The writing this week has been really good, particularly tonight, or what was last night's Friday's 5-star ep. I thought the writing was really good. Let's see. Do you want your International Women's Day headlines?
You can't use that for everything, but yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Remy is saved, but not without arguments amongst the doctors. Salt by the Sea goes ahead swimmingly and raises lots of money for SCAD. It even gets Irene and John on the dance floor.
I can't breathe. I can't wait till the SCAD storyline is over.
Never gets old. I bet you can. Tane, a.k.a. the demigod, misreads the signals after denouncing closure from his marriage. And is Mac under Dr. Levi's spell?
Please take the time to like, subscribe and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, so we've got Cash at the top of the week. At the hospital, wants to talk to Remy, who you'll remember has just been rushed in after his motorcycle faux pas, shall we call it? Well, you know.
It was a full-on crash.
Got to say, yeah. Let's downplay it, yeah. Yeah.
Big old crash, yeah.
Big old cartwheel, went dead for a bit, came back alive in someone's boot. Now he's at the hospital after being dumped again. Now he's telling Rose, isn't he? Because he bumped into Rose. And obviously, Remy at this point isn't, I don't even think he's conscious. He's not in a state to be interviewed by Cash or anyone, not, you know, no. Even though Cash is not there on official business because he's suspended. So he gets to talking to Rose and basically fills her in on everything that's going on and that Eden is still missing. And this all has to be connected somehow. You know, Remy was found nearby on the road. It's got to be all linked. And he's trying to join the dots, isn't he, at this point?
Yeah.
And poor Remy's looking crook-ass, so he's not getting any answers from Remy at this point. In fact, he's looking so crook that Dr. Levi thinks he needs to intervene immediately. Even though poor old Bree here is trying to treat him and ascertain his injuries, what's going on with him, and try and get him the best, you know, ordering scans and tests and trying to get him resource, really. It was an emergency situation, wasn't it? And Levi comes barging and he's like, nope, get that chest open now, I'm taking over. And this goes to, she's seething, isn't she? This goes down like a lead balloon. What the hell? She's screaming at him, I want him to be assessed properly. He needs his imaging, he needs this, he needs that. He's like, that's not going to save his life. This is, get that chest open. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What the hell was going on here, Dr. Levi, again?
It's been a while since we had an ED surgery situation, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it has, because I do remember, because I faint on all of them.
Oh dear, it was very dramatic though. I did enjoy this, and I did enjoy the kind of like the tussle between the two doctors. You know, one's there as the heart specialist, so you want to agree with him, really, don't you? Because you're like, well, he must know what he's doing. This is his day job. He does this every day.
Yeah.
You know, but then obviously we've got Bree. But then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Bree's too close to this situation. Bree also thought Justin was going to die recently, and he miraculously recovered and he's absolutely fine now. So, you know, I don't know whether I necessarily trust Bree's opinion anyway nowadays.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I don't know. I was inclined to agree with Levi simply on the fact that he is the heart specialist. Although I have got a slight, is he doing the old, you know, God complex surgeon routine?
Yeah.
Is he a bit too cocky and too full of himself? I don't know. The jury's out on that one for me. What do you think?
No, he is. I don't like the way he carries himself at all. I think he's an sod. And he's come into this hospital, which isn't his hospital.
No.
And he's only there for one patient, and he's sort of barging in and taking over. He's unprofessional. I don't like the way he's treated Xander. I don't like the way he talks to his colleagues. I don't like the way he talks to Xander. You know, I just don't like it. And he's the God complex that you put it as, it sums it up quite nicely. And
because
it
he's literally a lifesaver, isn't he? He's like literally like he says, I saved his life. Like, you would get a bit of an inflated opinion of yourself, let's put it that way, if you were literally heart surgeon, you know. And let's be honest, he's a young heart surgeon to be at the top of his game as well.
Yeah, that's true. You can understand how he's like that. It's even when he's saying things to, you know, when he's flirting with Macop, which we'll come on to later. And he's, oh, the handsome heart. He refers to himself as handsome heart. So I'm like, I just want to,
I know. I don't know whether that is, I don't know. Like, sometimes that can be like charming, because it's like, it's almost like self-deprecating, but in a kind of masking way. So you say, like, you know, like if someone didn't think they were very good looking, they might be like, oh well, I'm just, you know, a supermodel or whatever. I don't know. I can't work it out. I find him really confusing. I can't work out whether he really believes that he is like this godlike heart surgeon, gorgeous, young, whatever, or whether he has got that humility and that humbleness. I haven't really seen it yet.
Yeah. It's early days. Benefit of the doubt. We're quite infamous ourselves for the old U-turn.
Oh yeah, we are.
So let's see how we go. Let's see how we go. I love him in 2 weeks. Back. I know, and then yeah.
2 weeks time, I'll be going, I love him.
Erasing previous episodes of the podcast. So let's see. But I suppose that's the point. That's the joy of a continuing drama like a soap.
Yeah.
Because it can evolve with the story. And you can write characters to be likable. Why do you like, there's some, you know, he took sides with his dad, didn't he? And we've got this whole thing going on with Eden. So, you know, I think we're supposed to take a dislike to him. And this is part of that character and setting out what kind of person he is, I think. Mm. And you're right to bring up Bree's inner tussle as well, not just with him, but she's got this sort of doctor treating patient or girlfriend treating boy, you know, girlfriend and boyfriend thing going on. And you're right, she's a little bit too close, and that is making her react strongly as well. So that heightens the situation. It all gives for good drama, let's face it.
Yeah.
I tell you, it doesn't help though. Dana walking around the hospital going, it'll be a miracle if he survives at all. I love Dana at the hospital. I just love her. She just sort of breezes through a scene. She's like, oh, he's gonna die.
She does work, doesn't she? She works as that character, because I think the jury's still out on her generally. Like when she's not in nurse mode, let's face it, like when she's the sister or whatever. She can be really immature and, I don't know, annoying, I guess, the annoying little sister. But then, she can be quite good, like that Harbinger of Doom hospital nurse thing that she's got going on. I don't know. Jury's out on her still, but she's more likable when she's at work for me at the moment.
Yeah, completely agree. I think she's hilarious at the hospital.
Yeah.
Just find her funny. Just like... All this is going on to save his life, and she's like, Rose, oh, it'll be a miracle if he lives. What do you know? What do you know about this? That'd be me, that in the waiting room, scaring everybody.
It's because she's the only one that's not close with Remy as well, isn't she? Because everybody else, either that works in the hospital or is close to people in his life, like, you know, Levi doesn't, he knows Remy, obviously, but he's more there for reading, isn't he? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, it's like 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Everybody knows Remy that's in the hospital at the moment.
Good point. In summary, anyway, as Bree puts it, it's reckless and arrogant. Reckless and arrogant, but it does save his life. And I'm like, oh, God, if something does go wrong here now, it's open to a lawsuit and all sorts. Later in the week, he is awake. But he's in pain, they can't work out what it is. And there's more arguments between the two, isn't there? Because, you know, she's like, well, this was your doing. You did this against my wishes, against all process and protocol. And he's like, if I didn't do it, he wouldn't be feeling anything. He'd be dead. And they're just at each other's throats. And Eden's sort of stuck in the middle, isn't she? Because she's like thanking him for all his work. But I think Bree looks at it through a slightly different lens, being in the profession of how reckless it was. And she probably knows deep down he has helped and saved him, but his lack of respect for the rules, or, you know, to me, like, he's a bit off the rail.
He's a maverick, isn't he? He's a bit.
That's the word.
It's exciting, but then when it's something so serious, it's actually quite, it could be a liability, couldn't he, really? So, difficult one.
And where the bloody hell's pain management when you need 3 days? 3 days. I know.
3 days. And how neat is Dr. Levi's work? Because not being funny, but Mac has had a heart attack. She's had two operations now. Not a single scar on that woman. And Remy Remy's, you know, where I assume the scar is from the bandage placement, tiny. Like, I've got bigger scars than that from keyhole surgery. So I've not had my chest cracked open before. Wow.
It is good work. It is good. So you miracle. Can't say. He might be a maverick, but he is good at what he does.
He's bloody good. Yeah.
Now, as Remy's stuff is being taken out of the hospital,
yeah,
Cash clocks something in the old bag, doesn't he? A bracelet.
Eagle eyes. I know. I can't believe he managed to spot that. It was insane. He's got the eyes of a hawk.
And then this whole, it's linked somehow, you know. Yeah. That links Eden directly to place, you know, to Remy. They must have met and they must have something to do with this, because Eden was wearing that bracelet when they were camping last week.
Mm.
And then so we're like, right, we're on the mission. So he and Rose go out to look for clues. They missed the tracks that were left, the very obvious tracks that were left. And when they was dragging the body along the dust. But yeah. That they're off, that they're getting warmer, aren't they? And back at the house, you'll remember this house that Pinky and Perky took Eden to last week. Wes and Mickey, you're so fine, you're blowing my mind, Mickey.
yeah. Another earworm, thank you for that.
Yeah, sorry. She's there and she's having a right old time with them two, isn't she? She's trying to get through to me. She's trying to talk through to him, you know. And Wes is saying to her, "You've had a real good look at us, and that is a problem." And it is. You called it last week. We saw it last week, didn't we? You know, at least they got rid of Remy and saved him and dumped him and called Triple O because he was unconscious and didn't see them. So they can't be identified, but she knows. She's heard every conversation. She knows what we look like. She knows their names, and they're panicking about it.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
And she knows where they live, because I'm sure that's their house.
Yeah, you said that, didn't you? It's not a random house. It's theirs. Yeah.
Well, I had a little... I sort of paused it on the old stream and had a little look around the kitchen. And I was like, yeah, it definitely looks like the kitchen of two brothers that live together.
Right, okay.
Based on previous experience of such situations. Although, like you said last week, not a Tim Tam in any of them cupboards.
No air fryer, like the band house.
No, there's no cooking or snacking involved in that house. It's all just, go to the shop when you need food, I think, situation.
She does tell him that her boyfriend's a cop, and I thought, well, that's not a good thing to share, really.
I wondered where she was going with that, because earlier on, I think the day before, actually, when Remy was still there, she said, oh, look, we're not going to tell the cops. We're not going to call the cops. Just let us go. And then the next day, she was like, oh, by the way, I don't need to call the cops because I'm dating one. I was like,
ooh. I know. I was like, oh, that's a bit risky.
Yeah. And then he was like, yeah, so he's not here.
Cops here. They don't scare me. She does overhear them talking to each other, and basically they're saying, Wes is telling the mad one, look, she's got to go tomorrow. She's got to go. We're going to get rid of her in the morning. Get it done, he says. And she's like, she must be thinking, this is it. What can I do? And the next day rolls round, they're dragging her out to the car, aren't they? And I don't know how she manages it. She gets free. And would you have it? Just in the nick of time, Rose and Cash find her location.
Yeah, this was very quick for me. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, well, you were after my reaction, weren't you?
Yeah.
I texted you right away, immediately. And I was like, already? What, another 3 days of torture?
I know. I thought we'd see a bit more. I thought we'd see a bit more bargaining between Eden and the, you know, the captors. I don't know. We've had other situations that have been dragged on much longer, and for this to be such a big dramatic story, I didn't think it would be just wrapped up in one episode, really.
I don't see if this was Australia. I know it's not hard to imagine. that she'd have gone missing in the November, wouldn't she?
That's true. Yeah.
So I suppose it wouldn't feel the same. I suppose we've gone bang the next night, haven't we?
That's true. Yeah. Job done. Yeah. Whereas for them, it probably felt like 6 weeks. So yeah.
So, I'm willing to let it slide because I like things fast. I'm used to things being fast on this show. But it was, I would have liked to have seen her in a bit more peril because I like them too. I know, you know, that I liked, I think it was you who was saying last week about the dynamic between them, about the bumbling mistakes they're making is really compelling to watch, you know.
I thought it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you agree with me. I'm going to read you some comments on Your Sound the Bay later where people didn't necessarily agree with that. But I did enjoy the kind of, the haplessness of them, the fact, you know, they made a mistake with Remy, you know, genuinely, they realised they'd messed up. They were driving, they weren't paying attention, they were messing about on their phones, messing about with the radio, they were drinking, you know, and it was a pure accident. And I just find that fascinating. I find that more fascinating when that situation escalates and those two people who made a mistake panic and then make another mistake and another mistake and then end up in a situation that they never thought they'd ever be in. I find that more interesting than someone who's evil from the start and then doing an evil thing, because it's that escalation of all the mishaps and all the stuff that's happened. And at any point they could have gone, no, we need to stop now and we need to call the cops and we need to come clean. And at this point we'll only be in this amount of trouble, but they kept pushing it and pushing it. So then they're talking about murder, you know, they're talking about getting rid of bodies and talking about murder. And it's like, oh God, it's really escalating again. And it's, you're at the edge of your seat thinking, are they going to do the right thing? Are they going to get more over their heads? So they're going to make more stupid mistakes, more bad decisions. And that's fascinating to watch, isn't it? I think.
100% agree. And it makes them both interesting baddies, if you like.
Yeah.
For different reasons. Yeah. Like Wes, you're thinking, wow, what's Wes's past for him to be capable of saying all this? He's obviously driving it. And then Mickey, you're thinking, he's under some sort of coercion, some sort of bully type relationship.
It's his older brother, isn't it? So you don't want your older brother's going, well, come on, you know, they used to get in their way, and the younger brother's used to just following along and you know, oh yeah, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you say, Wes, and doesn't want to get into trouble. That dynamic's interesting, isn't it? So I enjoyed it.
If I was one of them, I'd have sat down at the end of that day and gone, Jesus Christ, I've had a bad day, I need a glass of wine. The fact they never, because there was never any intent for it to go there. They didn't go out looking to kill, did they, or anything?
No, I didn't get the impression that they were evil, you know, from the beginning.
They it's just a day, a awful thing happened. It just gone from bad to worse. He even, when Wes knocked Eden out for seeing them dig that grave, you know, it was like, she saw us and I panicked and I just knocked her out. And now what do we do? And it was like, oh my God, this is so funny, but like scary, you know,
it's one of those like a sliding doors moment where that could literally happen to anybody. But then it's like, how do you act in that moment when you're terrified?
Yeah.
You're panicking. Yeah. You've not done this before. You're not a bad person. You're not, you know, a mastermind criminal. You're not used to getting rid of bodies and like knocking people out. So when it happens to you in whatever haphazard way, how would you respond, you know, in that situation? Would you make the right decision and like phone the cops and say, oh, we weren't paying attention and we hit this guy and, you know, it was awful? Would you do that? Or would you bury the bike under a load of twigs and drag the body back to your house? You know, what would you do? You know, nobody knows until they're in that situation. We all think that we would do the right thing. We all like to think that we would. But when you're losing your plot, like, you know, you don't know. And this is the kind of stuff that happens in real life. You hear about these on true crime documentaries, don't you? That, you know, they weren't evil from the beginning. Some people, I'm not saying everybody, but some people genuinely fuck up. And then it's like, it escalates. And it's like, well, at what point did you think you were going to do the right thing? And it's, you know, they just panic, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's fascinating to watch. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. They get arrested because Cash has turned up in the nick of time with Rose. Yeah, it was Rose, wasn't it? So they get arrested and Eden gets taken to the hospital. Now, I'm not quite sure whether she got checked out even. She just seems to go to the hospital because she really ought to have been after that ordeal. Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think she was, you know. She's at the hospital. No. Yeah. And she's having a go, isn't she? She's having a go because she's obviously really concerned about Remy. Last time she saw him, you know, he was, how he didn't have any broken spine or anything. I don't know, no idea. And so she's learning what conditions Remy in, and she's learning quite quickly from a very upset Bree that this was all Levi, and obviously there's this beef with Levi about them growing up, which we struggle to sympathise with, but we're going with it. And Eden says to him, if he doesn't wake up, I will never, ever forgive you. And we can talk for ages, we have done for months, about Eden and Remy's bond and how we like that, and, you know, their friendship. And yeah, she gets home, leaves the hospital, leaves him to stew on those words. And Cash is talking to her. Cash is just sort of, what a man, you know, yet again, what a man. He is sort of relieved. He's comforting her, but he's trying to understand what's gone on. He's just like coming down from this massive thing that's happened. He woke up and she wasn't there this morning. Do you know what I mean? And then she collapses. And what the end of an episode? Adrenaline crash. They blame it on the next day. Perhaps she wasn't fed, as you put it. And Rose comes over, takes the statement, and he says to her, because this statement involves a lot of sort of, you know, it was Mickey, you know, I managed to get Mickey out. I was thinking, you know, I managed to get some leverage with Mickey, the mad one. And he asks her, which I thought was a very important question, and it's a line that stuck out for me for the whole week. How can you have compassion for someone who can killed you but not your own brother? You know, he's right, isn't he? These things like this puts a lot of stupid stuff in your life into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes you think about, I mean, we've been hearing about her and her grudge list and how she holds grudges and she's stubborn and stuff like this. But you have to put it into the bigger picture, the context around it. If she can be compassionate towards Mickey, who was, let's face it, if he hadn't listened to her, or maybe if Cash hadn't turned up, maybe Mickey would have gone along with it and maybe he would have helped his brother kill her. She doesn't know, because it never, you know, we didn't get that storyline, didn't play out that way. So Mickey might not have been the, you know, the lesser of two evils in that story. He could have been just as complicit as Wes by the end of it. We don't know.
That's true.
But she can see his side, and she can see that he's being dragged along by his brother, and, you know, he's not all bad, and he tried to help and what have you. But then, yeah, like Cash says, how come you can have sympathy for someone that was going to get rid of you if you can't just have a conversation with your brother? It doesn't make any sense. And it's what we wanted to hear as an audience, isn't it? Because it's what we're hoping that someone's going to get through to her and say, come on. Especially because, not being funny, but her brother, he might be the spawn of Satan or whatever, but he's saved Mac's life this week. He's also saved Remy's life, as far as we know so far. He can't be all bad.
Well, this is it. This is the turning point, isn't it? This is now where the ship starts to sort of sail with the wind, isn't it? I think. Because obviously Levi learns later from Rose the Popo that this has all happened, and he goes round to the house. There's initially a bit of, you know, back up against the wall. But after this conversation with Cash, who's just like the most beautiful human ever at the moment.
I know.
What has happened? He has been written amazingly for quite a while now.
I love him.
And we've laughed him off for years. So I know. Kudos. Yeah. Right. He is great right now.
You know why? Because he's not Copper Cash. He's not Mr. Serious. He's not boring. He's not just getting a coffee and going to work with Jasmine. You know what I mean? He has got a personality, thank God, when he had that one personality, that episode where he got drunk, we called him Fun Cash for like 5 months, even though it happened once. You know, we remember that he can be fun. So this is nice to see, isn't it? And he's not just fun. He's romantic. He's thoughtful. He's the words of wisdom that we wanted someone to say, logical, all of these things. It's hard not to fall in love with him right now, I'll be honest.
I'm struggling not to, I must say. And he's being a lot of things for a lot of people. And nice to hear last night that he's finally getting his day with the with work. His suspension hearing's happening, so let's see what goes. I hope he gets his job back, even though I hate it.
I don't want him to
get his
job back.
You're right. I want it for him because he wants it, but yeah, you're right. It's going to change his back, isn't it? Yeah.
I want fun cash. Fun cash.
Yeah.
I want fun cash.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a slip of the tongue. I'm with you. It was a weak moment.
It was an interesting scene, though, wasn't it? Because they were talking about Cash and Cash's personality, and he's quite mellow and he's quite thoughtful and what have you. And then when that scene where Levi turns up at the door that we've just been talking about, Levi comes in like he's concerned for Eden, but his concern comes out really as anger.
Yeah, bull in a china shop. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was just like the worst. This is why I wonder why it's actually a personality clash between Eden and Levi, and that's the reason why they don't get on. It's nothing to do with the dad. It's the fact that he comes in and shouts at her and goes, "Why aren't you telling me you were kidnapped and you nearly died?" Like, if you've just been kidnapped and nearly died and you're traumatised, shouting at someone, you know, just, you don't do it. He should have come in and said, "I just came around to see you because I've just heard and I'm just, like, livid and I want to know if you're okay." And, you know what I mean? Like, not come in and shout, "Why didn't you tell me?" It's not going to go down well, is it? Then she got her back up because she's been screamed at because she doesn't like being screamed at. I mean, nobody does, but... Yeah. By someone that she sees as the spawn of Satan coming in her house and screaming at her. That's not going to work, is it? That's not going to work.
That's it.
So it's just an interesting dynamic, that whole scene, I think, really, between the three sort of personalities that they've got.
Yeah, you're right. I actually preferred the second scene, take two.
Yeah.
And she summons him round. I mean, for obvious reasons, but I just love what he says to her because actually, for the first time, he had me on board, Levi, for the first time since he's arrived. You know, and he says to her, "We're never going to see eye to eye on what happened when we were kids, right? We're never going to agree on Dad, okay? But I want to move forward. I want to focus on now."
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry I hurt you along the way, but I'm here now and let's draw a line. And it seems to have worked. Progress.
Yeah,
it was a gorgeous moment, that, between two feuding siblings for all those years. I'm not expecting the road to be smooth.
No, it won't be, will it? Yeah.
But it was a lovely moment and a turning point. So
I think we needed it again, didn't we? Because I think the audience was getting to the point where they were like, they couldn't really hold on this storyline anymore, because they're like, Eden just needs to get over this. We need to get over this. We can't keep having this drama every time they're in the same room together. Oh God, you're here. Oh God, you're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's nice to get that sort of that conversation out of the way. And
definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about something else before we've got a 3-hour podcast.
We just love it so much. We can't help it.
Matt's looking good, isn't she? You said it last week. She's looking even better this week, if you ask Si. Oh God, why did I just do third person? But she tells Matt. What is going on with me today?
Sophie loves it. Keep going.
Sophie loves. She tells Marley, though, that she might be in hospital for a while. There's all this joke cracking about another heart attack, and Marley's like stone face. Do not say that.
Yeah, that was funny though. There's been a couple of funny lines this week that are, like, dark humor funny. You know what I mean?
You're right. Marley, I don't know, the way he, I know he said to Matt, didn't know she's like a sister to me, but I feel like it's all a bit strong, this, you know what I mean? I think if I was Matt, I'd be thinking, "Oh, fuck off, you're just my lodger." Do you know what I mean?
he did promise her brother, though, and in lieu of her not wanting to tell her own brother that she's had two heart attacks, you know, he's essentially Dean, isn't he? He's doing what Dean would have done. What would Dean do?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
but if your lodger was all like this for you, you'd just be like, "What the hell?
I can't be getting an AVO, mate. I'm straight down the cop shop.
I want to talk to you when you're handing me your rent, and that is it."
Oh no, they have got a good relationship, so it does make sense. But you're right; he is just there, like that smell.
It's very strong. It's very strong, isn't it? It's very they're trying to tell us, aren't they, that they're close, and this is going to be a friendship group that we're getting here. Back in the day, we had the Colby and the Dean and the.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? So they're telling us we're forming a new group of similar age, you know, friendship groups, I suppose. Yeah. So yeah. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing the instruction. Don't worry.
It's the Mac Pack. Told you.
The Mac Pack. That's it. Yeah. In excess. So he does tell her about this fundraising event that Xander's doing. I won't say it. And
you don't even need to.
She loves the idea, she says she loves the idea to everybody. Levi's there. Has Levi got no other patients, man? Is there only one heart?
No, apparently not. Apparently he's only there for Mac, isn't he? Because he said, when you go home, I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, like we're to assume he's come from the old hospital in the city. I'm sure there's a need for someone's heart. He's got a lot of time to spend hanging around Mac. And he's even there when she has a meltdown about going to said event, fundraiser, that shall not be named. she says, look, I am not going. I will not be paraded around. Do you know, it's this anxiety thing, isn't it? Because she says, you know, I don't want to leave the hospital. It's the only place I feel safe. Last time I left the hospital, I nearly died. And do you know what, girl? I can feel that. I can get on board with it. I can empathize with that feeling, to be honest.
Yes. I mean, the girl's in hospital. She's not been discharged. She's not back at home. She's not recuperated. And she's been, you know, told to be the main event at a fundraiser. I think I'd be a little bit, you know, cautious and scared if it was me.
Yeah.
I don't think she's being unreasonable here.
No, I don't.
She's literally in hospital in her pyjamas, and then they want to put her in a dress and cart her off into, you know, a fundraiser. Yeah.
What bugs me is Levi spends the whole day trying to get her in this frock and trying to get her to the event. I'm thinking, you literally fell out and screamed at Xander for taking her out last week.
But now, like, she's safe on your say-so. Yeah.
Like, come on, mate. Double standards here. You know, I didn't sit right with me that. And of course, he's been asked to do this keynote speech because John puts an idea in Xander's head, because Xander's flapping about on the day, you know, about someone doing a speech. And he has to go with tail between his legs to him and ask him to do this speech.
And you thought he'd rather vomit in a hat?
Vomit and wear it.
It's very similar to something I say, which is far more crude, but I always say I'd rather shit in my hands and clap. It was the less, you know.
This is the daytime soap opera version.
Yes.
But yeah, he basically doesn't want to speak to the guy. And I'm Team Xander on this one. I don't want to speak to him either. Certainly don't want to sit through one of his blummy speeches about himself.
Yeah.
I'm curing scat.
Scat.
It's like a reflex.
We weren't gonna go.
I've got no control. I've got no control.
Hello. Okay. Who do you think you're talking to? Oh dear. Peas in a pod, you and I. What we like.
Oh dear. So long story short, gets her there. He does the speech. She loves it. Everyone's wearing red. Looks like a wedding. This was gorgeous. The whole cast on the flaming beach. The band are playing. I didn't even mind that. John and Irene are having a boogie. What a day. What a day was this.
I did love this. I did love... Everybody looked amazing. Everybody looked amazing. The whole thing looked really good. Xander did a good job, I think, and considering he didn't have a huge amount of time to put it together, and he didn't have a band or a keynote speaker till the day before, I think he did a pretty good job, really.
Xander does an event well.
He does. Yeah, he could throw me a birthday party. I'd definitely let him do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll have to do our next live.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah. What did you think of old Levi's keynote speech then?
It was all right.
less of the key, zero notes. He put the notes in his pocket, didn't he?
Do you know, when he did that, though, I thought, oh, here we go. Mwah, 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 mwah. It was nice. He said nice things about Max. She loved it because she fell in love with him during it. So
I know. I tell you why I was confused. So they're going to get Bree to do it, first of all, which is fine. She's a doctor. She knows about some of the heart issue stuff. So that, you know, it makes sense. Then she can't because she's at Remy's bedside. Then they get the actual heart surgeon who operated on Mac and knows all about SCAD to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes, that makes more sense. And I was expecting a speech that only Levi could give. But actually, I think the speech she gave, although it was an I love you speech, really, anybody in that crowd that knew Mac could have given that speech.
That's a good point. Yeah, very good point, actually.
Mr. Stewart could have said that. You know, John. Oh, my God, John would have been a better speaker because he knows Mac so well. He could have delivered exactly the same content of the speech because there was nothing medical in that speech,
really.
That's
true, actually. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, it was. Why did it have to be him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very strange.
It was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think he had written like a boring, because he said, oh, I was going to read you some stats and, you know, talk to you about heart disease or whatever, and he shoved it in his pocket. I thought, well, that's literally why you've been asked to do the speech. You've not been asked there to say nice things about Mac. You've been asked there to say, we're here for a good cause. I'm a heart surgeon. SCAD kills this many people under, I don't know, what age every year.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He just kind of went, Mac's awesome, and I'm totally falling in love with her, by the way. And I was like, oh.
Feelings mutual.
Yeah.
She gets him back at that hospital and plants a big one on him.
Oh, this was awkward, though. I don't know. What did you think?
I mean, it was inevitable, right? Especially after the speech. But then he sort of ran away to the lift in horror. And I'm thinking, she's a beautiful, very sexy lady. I don't know. Is it because it's like a patient doctor thing? What I'm struggling with now is he's been at the hospital the rest of the week and we
haven't seen her.
No, is he avoiding her? Is he
his only patient and he hasn't seen her once? Come on.
Yeah, he went and cracking someone's chest open, you know. Oh, I'm thinking about this kiss. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel it myself. What about you?
I don't know what to make of the kiss at all, because I didn't feel like, I felt like there was a moment like between the two of them. Like he was they were getting very close to each other and he was like, oh, I think I've done everything I can do. And she was like, oh no, you don't think you have. And it was getting a bit like, ooh, something's gonna happen here. And then when it actually happened, it felt more like Mac kissing him and him just not even reacting. It just felt a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
And like you, I can't understand why. Is it a patient doctor thing? Is he hiding something? Is he not interested in Mac and he is just being very friendly and maybe he's naturally flirty and charming and what have you, and this kind of stuff happens and you know you get the wrong signals off somebody, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah. Is he a homosexual?
Is he? Yeah. Or is he? Is he just a fuck boy? And it's like backfired on him. I don't know.
It could be anything at this stage, and we don't know. I suspect he's shocked. She's my patient. Oh no, I've got too close. Run away. Come back a few days later and do it again.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. She seems smitten, you know. She didn't seem alarmed that he ran off.
No, she didn't notice that he ran out of the room holding his mouth. Like, he literally put his hand over his mouth. He did not look happy, and she was just like, ah. And I was like, I think I would have felt like I'd done something wrong. I think I would have felt like I'd sexually assaulted somebody by that reaction. Yeah. I'd have had to run to the lift and been like, I'm really sorry. Did I just, you know, just come on to you? And
Yeah.
Did, was it I the didn't garlic? Get, was there no consent there? Like, did I just literally just... I don't know. I would have felt really bad.
Yeah, I would have been thinking, oh my God, do I kiss that bad? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the garlic potatoes that stabbed me.
Yeah. Ooh. you'd be really self-conscious, wouldn't you? You'd be mulling it over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do you know what? I'm going to make it after this. And then after I've edited this, I'm going to go and watch that back and just see if he kissed her back. I can't remember whether he did or not.
I think he did initially, but then it was like a, oh no. And they kind of froze. And then she was still smiling and kissing him. And I was like, oh, he's not into this. And then just literally run away. He was like, you need to rest, and then he ran, didn't he?
So that's going to be, so looking forward to first look tomorrow, because there's going to be lots of stuff about that. Lots
hopefully
of that.
Can't be another week of them not seeing each other, because that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, it would, particularly as I suspect she's probably going to get discharged. She's been in there way too many episodes.
Yeah.
Turning to pretty casual a this turn it casual a Sorry. Oh, right, I'll tell you what else happened at that fundraiser event, Salt by the Sea. Gorgeous, by the way. I love that. When Max said, let's have more Salt by the Sea, I thought, yeah, let's.
Yes.
Loved it. Maz was on the same table as Justin and dropped the old bomb about the letter. She got a reply from Leah.
Don't say bomb around Marilyn.
sorry.
She'll get PTSD.
Don't say two places where you're not allowed to say bomb near Marilyn and on a plane. So she got a reply from Leah and she just says it, and Justin's really taken aback by this because it's all no contact. So he immediately jumps up in the middle of the event and he's like trying to ring the clinic, who won't put him through to her because she's in this recovery clinic, and rightly so. And it's been a couple of weeks now, hasn't it? And he's absolutely tearing himself up about not being able to check in on her, to speak to her. But he's feeling a bit perplexed as to why Marilyn, you know, wrote this letter and gets this reply, as are we all, to be honest. None of this makes any sense. They obviously won't let him speak to her, and Mr. Stewart follows him. And you know, every time there's one of these scenes, I say, oh, I bloody love Justin and Mal scenes. I don't know why. They're just such
the
nice
rendering.
Every time they have a scene, I just see him come in the background into shot and I go, oh, this is going to be good, you know.
A
bit too into it, but you know, we're all friends here. And so he obviously says some nice things to him, you know, look, you know, maybe your time will come, you've just got to wait, you've got to be patient. He's like, I'm just frustrated that I can't talk to her. All the things we know. But there's no answers at this point for us as an audience, is there? It looks like Mrs. Stewart sort of basically convinces him to write a letter himself. Like, look, Marilyn's done it. Maybe, you know, put it all out, how you're feeling, what this is doing to you. Ask her how she is. So he does. He puts pen to paper. Alf makes him a lovely cup of tea. And he puts pen to paper. And he says to her, doesn't he, the old voiceover letter writing voice. You know, I love you and I miss you and I wish I could be there for you, and I understand, and I'll be ready waiting for you whenever you need. So we have to assume he's sent off this letter now in the hope he'll get a reply from Leah.
Well, he asked Marilyn to shove it in her letter, didn't he?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That was very needed offer.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, can you just put this in with yours? Because I think they'll intercept it if I send it to her.
So he must know at this point that it's personal. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd know, wouldn't
you?
Well,
did you see that conversation he had with Theo at the juice bar, I think it was. I think it was Thursday night, 6:30. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, you know, I wrote her a letter, but apparently it's no contact for me specifically. in this situation. And I, it was what we kind of alluded to last week or before when we were talking about it. It's Justin specific because he was involved in, you know, she was the one that pulled the knife on him. He's the trigger for...
He's the cult master member.
But he's the trigger for her paranoia and her, you know, whatever it is that she's going through. So I think rather than try and like... I guess they're trying to avoid a relapse of whatever it is that's happening with her. If she's making progress, will a letter coming from Justin make her think, oh God, Reason Over and found me? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what state she's in now. Because when we saw her, she was completely, you know what I mean? Paranoid.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. Yeah. I'm at the point where I know this is really sort of, I don't know, fans can be like this kind of, but I want to see her at this place. I sort of want to see a couple of scenes there. You know, it's just, I want to know how she's doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm feeling a bit like Justin at this stage. You know, we've invested a lot in this woman, 20 odd years. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of course we care a bit. Do you know what I mean? So, and of course it's all real. So, I sort of get it. And Justin's feeling frozen out. He then later in the week learns that actually she's coming home and he's the last to know. And she doesn't want to go home. This is gonna...
I didn't like this.
What is going on, Sophie?
I did not like this. I didn't like this whole conversation that Marilyn... Marilyn, bless her, had to have a secret. Why do people always give...
Yeah, what is this? Yeah.
They're constantly saying to Marilyn, stop telling lies, stop keeping secrets, stop doing this, be honest, be open. And then they tell her a massive secret and tell not to tell anybody. And I just think, oh, this poor woman. And she takes it really seriously, doesn't she? Like, if you tell Marilyn not to tell anybody, she absolutely doesn't want to tell, she doesn't want to let anybody down. She, you know, she's sheepishly going to Mr. Stewart. Oh, she's asked us for a favour. She wants to come and live with us. He's like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, she, of course she can move in for a bit. Yeah, but we can't tell Justin. And it's like, oh, why? Why are you putting this burden on Marilyn? It's not fair.
I think Leah had been better off just rocking up at Summer Bay House. Irene,
just go to Irene's house.
All that, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Just stay completely away from from Marilyn. You're right. I mean, poor old Alf. You know, we're talking about these gorgeous scenes he has with Justin and this sort of bromance. You know, they have a really good bond. And now he's also got to keep it from him. But it doesn't last long, he tells him. But he proper owls it. Proper owls it. You know, he's like, look, I don't want any trouble. She's coming to my house. Don't ask any questions. And that is that.
Yeah. Back off. Don't make me get the hose.
Oh, I miss him hosing a kayak down. I suspect. You know, Justin's not going to be able to stay away.
No, he's
in fact, I know for sure it's in the promo.
Well, yeah, we did literally, but I didn't believe it. As soon as he knew that Leah's going to be Summer Bay House, which is, I don't know how far from like Justin and Leah's house, but not far, either walkable or drivable. He's going to be around there. He's not going to stay away.
No.
And I'm going to be exasperated.
And he wants, at the end of the day, he wants to be there for her. He wants to save his...
Yeah. He didn't back off when she had a knife, for God's sake. Like, he didn't back off from her when she was holding a knife at him. He's not going to back off now, is he?
What's the caravan park going to do? You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
He's not scared of all the keys, is he? Come on.
Drama is a-coming for that, I think.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I think it's going to put us back in SBH. We've not been there for a few weeks.
That's true. So, yeah. You have not been there since Rue was going through.
Yeah.
Going through it. Yeah. Being a bitch to old Maz. Yeah.
Right. Flick and Tane. My autocorrect on my notes has said Flick and Table. Flick and Tane.
The demigod.
Demigod.
Called, Table Mountain, maybe.
They've got this good old talk going on, haven't they, about how bad they're doing.
Okay, so just to be clear, we're both miserable. Yes, okay.
But this is the, I told you they needed this talk a while back. We sort of had half of it then. This is the, this is part deux of the talk that started.
I'm still not satisfied with the talk though. I don't know whether you are.
I don't know, because I think it was all lies anyway.
I don't know how to take it. Like, do you think he was, I couldn't really work it out. I can't work out what he's saying, because one minute he's like, I still love you, but we can't get together. Then he's like, I'm not doing okay, I miss you and I love you. I'm like getting mixed signals here, Tani.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what I think it is? He's seen her in the nice dress. They've been getting along a bit for the, you know, they went out in the bush searching for Eden together. They're talking a little bit more. I think he has remembered, he sort of fancies her. He's got all these feelings. I think he's had a little moment of weakness and he wanted to tell her how much he's hurting so that she'll feel sorry for him. And I think he wanted her to sort of want him. Yeah. For a minute, I don't think he's had any intention of going back there. I mean, he says that anyway. But I think he wanted her to tell him that she wants it. I don't know, in a weird, sadistic way. Do you know what I mean?
No. I'm not getting good vibes off this, because I'm like, you love her, you miss her, you're a mess. Why are you telling her this? You still want a baby. You still want different from her. Why are you doing this to her? Why are you messing with her head again?
Well, that line, I wish I wanted what you want, is what she says. And he's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah, what he wants. He doesn't say, and I wish I wanted what you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
He just goes, yeah, same. Yeah, I wish you wanted what I want. Because I want is the right answer.
If only you'd put up and shut up. They might as well have said that.
Think of Australia.
He might as well have said that. Honest God.
I couldn't bear that. That for me was the final nail in the coffin, because I was like, he could have said, and I wish I wanted what you wanted, but he didn't. He's like, yeah, I agree, you should want what I want, because what I want is right, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, these two are so over, because he's just, no.
Yeah, he's handling this all wrong. And then not only that, obviously, she makes it quite clear she was reading this a bit differently. She had hope, remember? You know what I mean? Like, and he's come and found her. She's reading so much more into them actions than he would. Because she's desperate. Do you know what I mean? She wants it so bad. She goes home upset and he follows her. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing? And look, he says some, back at the house, he says some things that make sense. You know, he does agree, to his credit, when I told you that I could do it, I realise now that it was a lie. And I'm thinking, not just to her, but to yourself, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, I now know that I resent you and it's not anyone's fault. We want different things. I thought, yeah, this is the kind of conversation that should have happened weeks ago. I get it, you were angry. Get it. But there was an ounce of sort of guilt, sort of admittance, almost. It was almost getting to an admittance to there, wasn't it? But didn't quite go over the line.
No.
And then, for me, that's just really turned me off here now, is that they leave it. He says, right, I've managed to achieve some closure. Next day, straight back at the gym with that Harper. And we know how that's been going. He's telling her all this, he's telling her all the troubles, and she's saying, you know, I see a really good friend in you, and you're my only friend in town, and all this stuff. And then he kisses her. Sorry, mate, I'm done.
Yeah. I was not happy with this at all. I'll be honest. I was not happy. I'm not happy with either of them. I'm not happy with Harper either, I don't think. I can't get my head around this girl.
She has led him on. I don't care what she says. I don't care. He's, because I think Tane, of all the blokes we've got on the show right now, he's quite level-headed, right? Yeah. I wouldn't say he's, off the rail, untrustworthy with his feelings. I know he's going through a tough time, and he's been confiding in her, and them two have been spending a lot of time together. She's been there every day. She's been round him like a fly round crap. We've said it a lot of times on here. A lot of people on your say on the Bay the other week were saying this girl's after him. She's a, she's a right so and so. We've all been talking about it in the fandom for weeks now. So this was, I sort of don't blame him for reading it that way, really.
No.
I don't think it's right that he's acted upon it, especially, 6 hours after a conversation with his wife. But I don't think it's right for him to be getting into all that, really. No. Just the next thing along that he can try and get pregnant, like what? Well, that's another debate. But she has led him on. Then she does this whole, what are you doing? You're crazy, run off. Tells Dana, and Dana's like, well, why don't you do it? But it, for me, it was that moment when they finally got back together. They finally met back together, and he's like, okay, cancel the gym membership. I'll keep my distance from you. She looks absolutely gutted. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, this Harper girl wants it. But she's, for some reason, making it, she's sort of playing it like it's him pursuing her when it's not. I think it's the other way around. She's making the game look like he's playing it. Am I articulating this very well?
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I can't get a read on her at all because, like you say, they're essentially having what I would call an emotional affair. They're not, up until this point, there's not a physical thing at all. But they don't know each other. He's telling her the ins and outs and the secrets of his relationship and his, his separation to someone who is paying. Like he said this week, you're paying me to be your friend, essentially, because we only hang out when I give you PT sessions and you're paying me to do that.
Yeah.
So during these PT sessions, she's asking him, how are things with you and Flick? And it's like you're crossing a line and getting him when he's in a vulnerable situation, getting him to open up about his marriage and his separation and start to trust you. You get feelings for people, whether it's like romantic or whatever, you get like connection with somebody when you open up about things that are, complicated or, I don't know, private or whatever. So there's like an emotional connection forming here, and I feel like she does know what she's doing, and I don't know. And like you say, the fact that now it's like, oh, he kissed me, oh I wasn't expecting it, and then the first person she comes across is Cash, and rather saying to Cash, you're Flick's brother and you're Tane, you lived in Tane's house up until very recently and you're all very close together, I won't tell you what happened because it's not my place to, and maybe Tane should tell you, and I'll go and talk to my sister, or I'll go and talk to Irene or someone else that can help me. No, she couldn't wait to tell Cash what happened. Oh, he kissed me and I don't know how to feel about it. And then she didn't put up any fight when Cash said he was going to go around and talk to Tane about it. She was like, oh yeah, okay, well, don't make it worse. I was thinking she can't wait for you to go around there because she wants to ask you what happened. What did he say about me? I'm not feeling it. I'm getting a bad vibe off this girl right now.
Yeah, same. And I hate girls like that. Like,
I don't know whether she is that girl though. I don't know. I don't know. It's me just being a bit like, wary. I can't call it. Like,
I think she's manipulating the whole thing.
Do you think?
I really do. I think she's got him on a low ebb, and that's this is Achilles' heel. She said all the right things. She's, all those things that are going, like you say, going to make him develop a connection. She's been the confidant. Like, she doesn't know Flick, so she's someone he can go to, the soundboard he can go to, that's not going to have repercussions amongst other friends and family around the Bay. Right.
Yeah,
she's new to the Bay. She doesn't know Flick from Adam. In fact, what little meetings they've had is frosty. Flick can see it, and I think Flick is sort of being made out by them two to be this neurotic, seeing this all when it's not there. But I think Flick is spot on Well, she is spot on, clearly, because this has happened now. But yeah, she's manipulating it. She's making it look like Tani's doing the chasing.
Yeah.
When it's her.
I think that's the way I'm leaning as well. But I wasn't sure if I was just being, I was reading, you know, obviously analysing too much, reading too much into it, or wanting to see something that isn't there. But that is my kind of gut with this, is like, this is off. Right, Si, it's that time again. It's time for your say on the bay. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah. hit me. Shall I brace myself?
I was going to say, buckle in.
Okay, all right, okay.
No, it's not too bad. It's good. We've got lots of stuff to talk about, so we might have to sort of zip through some of the comments.
Okay.
But we've got lots of stuff, because obviously there's been a load of drama going on in the bay in the last week or so. And we recorded early last week as well, so we didn't get around to all the comments about the big episodes. Yes.
We did promise to nudge it to this week, didn't we?
We did.
The show, there's so much going on the show right now, and there's so much chat about it as well, isn't there? So I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, our podcast last week just blew up as well. So, like, there's a lot of people wanting to talk about what's going on right now. So,
So, you're on the bay. I've been digging through social media. I've been reading comments, and I'm going to read some out to Si now about what you guys think about what's been happening. And I'm mainly going to be looking at the Remy bike crash, Eden kidnap episodes, because let's face it, the best thing that's happened this year. And lots of people have got opinions on them. So let's dive in and have a look, shall we? So, first of all, on Twitter, Jamie says, "Well, that was blooming dramatic." Summed it up
in a word.
Summed it up in about five words there. Brilliant. Anne on Facebook said, "So good, I screamed." I think I did the same. I think I did scream. The bike crash made me like make some noises. I was like, "Whoa, whoa!"
Ooh, ah.
I know.
Yeah.
It did look really good, didn't it? It did look really good.
They do these things all the time.
They do, and lots of people are saying that. So Sarah on Twitter is saying, "Oh my god, that was so intense," and then lots of people on Facebook are praising this, the bike crash stunt, because they put a video of it, didn't they? The Home and Away pages on social media put a video like behind the scenes of Remy doing his own stunts as well, which was brilliant. Like Adam Roll, because he rolled along the floor.
Oh gosh, I see what you did there.
Adam Roland doing his own stunts. It was really good. I really enjoyed watching that. So lots of people have commented on those videos. So Diane on Facebook said, "Brilliant stunt." Margaret says, "Well done, everybody. That was a brilliant stunt." Lynn says, "Amazing to watch how you do the stunt work. Absolutely incredible." Christine says, "It's brilliant watching how you do these things. I love the behind the scenes stuff." Again, Julie saying it was brilliant. Julie on Facebook actually also agreed with you, Si, and she said, "It really made me jump when Remy suddenly started to breathe." Because you texted me something quite similar, didn't you, at the time? You're like, "Oh my gosh, I just jumped."
It was good. Did I tell you that I rewatched at the weekend, the whole week?
You did. You did. You had the bath day. Yes.
Again.
It was good. Yeah, lots of people saying the same thing. Suzanne on Facebook says, "Brilliant stunt." Gwyn is saying the same thing. "Well done, everybody." Fannin saying, "Amazing episode. So glad that Remy wasn't killed off." And Caroline says, Remy is a brilliant actor. I'm glad he survived.
Is that the general consensus? Are they glad? Because there's two ways of looking at this, isn't it? Like, yes, we're glad Remy survived. Great stunt. Glad he survived. The other side of me is a bit like, great stunt. Could we have been brave and killed him?
Ooh. Nobody's calling for his death, I'll be honest. Okay. And, you know, for Facebook, that's if they want him dead,
that's good going then. Yeah.
No one's saying that they wanted him killed off necessarily. I think a few people said, "Can you break his fingers so he hasn't got to play guitar anytime soon?" I did see a couple of those, but I haven't seen anybody calling for blood necessarily.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's maybe the tides are turning on the old Remy love hate comments. I'm not sure. Kerry says, "That was awesome. The crash did look really good. There was me shouting at the television because I got too excited. Ha ha." So lots of people praising it. Ty said that was much better than Dean's kangaroo car accident.
I don't know. I love that.
I know you do. I like the drama of that. I like the helicopter. I like the introduction of Logan. You know, that had its own merits, didn't it? The
helicopter. Yeah. The wing mirror balancing.
Teetering on the cliffside. Yeah. It was good. That was good drama. I think the CGI kangaroo was probably what people remember the most of that, though.
Yeah, but I absolutely loved it.
It was good. It was good. Patty says, thrilling action. Well done. And then Jude says, brilliant episode. Love Home and Away. Lots of people saying this on Twitter, the same kind of in reactions, I guess. So Roscoe saying that was a brilliant episode. Is Remy dead? ? Obviously, this was before we found out that he alive.
Before his chest got whacked open.
David said, great episode, but I still cannot stand Eden and Remy. So there's another person still to convert. David, not a fan. Not a fan. Geraldine on Twitter said, what an episode. And there were lots of, that was specifically about the episode where we saw Remy get, you know, hit by the car and then Eden got knocked out and put in the boot. That was that whole self-contained episode. I think all the reactions for that came from that episode. But in general, there's been lots of positive comments about the Remy Eden storyline. There's lots of comments about the scenery, the fact that we got away from the bay. And we saw that gorgeous place where they were camping, and everyone's asking, actually. So Michelle on Twitter said, loving the away from the bay scenery. And Drew on Facebook was saying, I wonder where this was filmed, because I loved the whole country area that they showed. I don't actually know where it was filmed. Keep meaning to look it up, see if we can find out. But I don't know.
They go to some fantastic locations, don't they, for some of these shoots.
It just looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
We did say we wouldn't go there ourselves.
I wouldn't go camping in Australia because of snakes and spiders and everything else that can kill you. I'm not keen. Not keen on the spiders. Dame Lady Jazz. Apologies for missing the title of there. Dame Lady Jazz on Twitter says, Lady Jazz to you. I know, right? Need to be respectful. The current drama in Home and Away is mind blowing. Yeah.
It is. Dame Lady Jazz.
I agree with you.
It's not just us. You see, it's not just us telling you.
I will come back to you, caller, on this one. Okay. Hold the line. Hold the line, caller.
Oh, gosh.
Naomi on Facebook. Now, I want to say this is Naomi's comment. I did not write this comment before the lynch mob turn up. Naomi said, I enjoy the ridiculous, overly dramatic storylines. I'm pretty sure Neighbours got cancelled because nothing remotely interesting ever happened in that boring little cul-de-sac. The bay has always been more dangerous and exciting. No comment from me. I'm going to move swiftly on.
No, let's not. So we're all friends here, but yes.
Yeah.
But do you know all the reasons we say we like this show? Naomi obviously feels the same way.
Yeah. You have to like the ridiculous and dramatic. You have to, because that is what Homer's is really good at, I think.
Yeah.
And if that's what you want, you watch Home and Away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do. Alexandra on Facebook says, I think this is all interesting stuff that's going on at the moment. I agree. And Becky said, such good episodes. And then one of my favourite tweets of the week from Michelle says, camping is never good. You either find a skull or you become the skull. I thought that was brilliant. That really made me laugh.
Do you know, Home and Away has started off 2024 so strong.
I'm just
sitting here listening to all this, thinking, you know, we're just off the back of the cult stuff coming to a head. Now this, like, everyone's loving it. We know from the podcast numbers that the appetite is higher. And when we're talking, there's people online, the chat we're having online, there's loads more of it. Like, we're going out strong this year.
Definitely. Yeah. Really good. There are people that aren't enjoying it as much, though. So, you know, to give both sides of the coin. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll read you some of the comments that are not loving it so much, and I'll see what you think about these ones. So,
okay.
a lot of people are saying the same thing. So Margaret says, what? Another kidnapping so close to the last one?
Kidnapping. Oh, yeah, it was the Justin and Leah. I didn't watch this thinking someone's being kidnapped. I watched this thinking, like you say, like we said in the main episode, run someone over, panic. I didn't watch it thinking it's a kidnapping. I mean, it was a kidnapping. Mm. They held Eden and Remy at this house. Yeah, there's a lot of this, isn't there? There is a lot of it, I must say. I sort of agree with that comment, to be honest.
I agree with it in a sense that it turned into a kidnapping, but I think it is a storyline that we haven't seen before. We've not seen two people just randomly come across a couple of characters from the Bay and end up in this awful situation like we have done. It tends to be, if they get kidnapped, it's by someone that they've pissed off. It's been someone they know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's been a revenge thing, or this was just something else. This was
wrong
just,
place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And it just developed from there, didn't it?
Yeah. I think it's not a storyline we've seen before, even though it was a kidnapping storyline. And, you know, we've had hit and runs before. We've had kidnaps before. But this was different for me.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
Whoever that was.
Margaret, no. But then Carol agrees. Carol said another kidnapping, another heart operation, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it had to be something wrong with Remy's heart because it brings...
We got Levi.
Mm-hmm. Levi is in there because obviously it's... I mean, what's happened to Remy and what's happened to Mag are completely different things.
Yeah.
Like, many things can happen to your heart, okay? But it's a plot device, right? Because Remy is at the hospital... Levi is at the hospital at the moment, and Levi, his storyline... It's linked to the Bay is Eden, and this was a device for him to ultimately patch things up with his sister. So I don't know. Yeah, I know. Yes, there's two heart things going on, but that doesn't make it boring.
No, you know? And they're very different. One is a medical thing that happened to Mac, and one... There's a thing that happened to Remy that could have happened to anybody that got hit by a car.
Yeah.
You know, they're very different. One is like an event, you know, with Mac, it's, you know, something that's happened to her. It's something to do with her heart. Remy's not had a heart attack. He's been hit by a car. And then
it's trauma. Yeah.
He's been bundled in and out of a car for 24 hours after being hit by a car. it's not really good for the body, is it? Let's face it.
No, definitely. It needed to be something with his... I mean, if it didn't need it to be Levi there so he can have a massive row with Eden and Eden say, I will never forgive you, and then him go after her and all, then patch up. Mm. If it didn't need to be that, they could have done anything else. Like, it would still be there at the hospital. He's still been run over. Like, they could say it's his spine or it's his neck or...
But it didn't need to be his heart because... his sister got kidnapped, and that would have been enough to get them talking.
Yeah, but there's also this thing with
Bree.
And that now looks like it could be an OCD thing.
God, I know.
It had to be that because Levi is at the hospital and he needs to be central to it. And
you're right.
Yeah. It's a plot thing, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It is a plot thing. I think they still could have got the Eden and Levi story going along because he could have found out, what do you mean my sister's been kidnapped? And then they still could have had that chat. But you're right, there's that extra dynamic now because we've got Bree versus Levi and then we've got Eden seeing Levi in a different light because he saved the person that she cares about.
Yeah.
You know, just as much as her boyfriend or whatever. Yeah.
You know, those scenes where she's thanking him and all that, it's softening the thing between them, isn't it?
So, absolutely. Debbie on Facebook says, I love this soap, but there is no need for the story that's just happened. It's like a horror film. The writer must be very disturbed.
Oh, blimey.
Very disturbed.
We praise the writing.
I know, and we must be very disturbed. It's like they're copying the old horror films. Well, there's only so many stories you can make up, isn't there, really, when it comes to plots. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was different. I think it was
a thriller. Those two or three episodes, the whole camping trip, it could have been its own standalone one-off drama.
That could have been a Channel 5 miniseries that we are big fans of. By the way, Love Rat starting on Monday. I hope you've cleared your diary.
Is it this Monday? I saw an advert back. Don't worry. It's in my peripheral.
Good.
So it could have been its standalone thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a good thing you have to have on these soaps. You have to have that cash injection every now and then, that big episode, that, you know, that something to draw in new people and lapsed people. And you got to do them every now and then. All soaps do them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got Jackie, who says, these episodes are laughable. It's like a comedy sketch. Now, I think that's a bad comment. You know what I mean? I don't think she's saying it's laughable in a good way. I think she's saying these are laughable in a...
Like, it's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Yes. Not loving it.
Yeah. Fair enough. She's not a super fan, but watches it and comments it.
I think it's fair enough.
If you thought it was ridiculous, fair enough.
Yeah. And then it'll be over soon. You know, these storylines, these don't hang around forever. So next week we'll be on to something else and people might be praising that one and we might not be loving that one as much. So, you know, everyone's got their own, you know, preference on what they want to see and everything else. This is why Your Send the Base is so interesting, because we go, oh, it's great. And then we look at the comments and we're like, oh, okay, there's people that don't like it. But we don't necessarily, sometimes I think I'm not going to find a bad comment. And then I find loads of bad comments. So I'm like, oh, people are seeing this completely differently to how we saw it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there's a storyline that we are saying is laughable and ridiculous, and then other people are lapping it up. So it is really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And then we've got one last comment from David, who says, this is without a doubt the silliest season finale in years, completely random and at times hilariously bad. Please do better, Home and Away. The show used to be great. Make Home and Away great again.
China. Okay.
Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Closer.